Joshua chapter 14. This evening we're going to look at the portrait of Caleb. We're going to call it tonight a portrait of consistency. A portrait of consistency. Joshua chapter 14. We're going to read starting in verse 6 and we'll read down through the end of the chapter. Joshua chapter 14 and verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, and yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Let's begin with prayer. Lord, we thank you tonight that we can spend time in your word. And Lord, we come to it this evening as it is in truth the word of God. And we ask that you bless it now, bless us as we learn. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. They always say that getting old is no fun. Right, and I've had multiple people say, "Listen, don't get old." Like older people will be like, "Yeah, don't do it." And so I've been trying to take your advice and not get old. So far, so good. I'm still a young adult according to our church, but you know, aging it's part of life. Bob Hope, the comedian, said, "You know, you're getting old when the candles cost more than the cake." Right, you have to spend more for candles. Somebody once said that when you get old, your memory is the second thing to go, and I don't remember what the first thing is. But, I mean, it happens, right? We're all, every day, we're just getting a little bit older. Caleb had gotten older, and he's talking about how he remembered back when he was 40 years old, right? When he was sent to spy out the land. And he says that at 40, he was, you know, full of energy and zeal to go and take the land, him and Joshua, and they're like, let's go do it. 40 years old, you know, they had all that you know, that youthful energy, I guess, but ready to just go and do what the Lord had called them to do, what the Lord had for them. But he says in, that was verse 7, verse 8, as he goes through and reviews his history, he said in verse 8 that the other spies made the hearts of the people to melt, and they didn't do it. And so here he was with the rest of Israel, him wanting to go in and the rest of Israel not wanting to go in. And so he was not allowed to go into the land at that time. And so he says, he is now 45 years older, right? He says he's 85 years old. He's now 85 years old. 45 years have passed from the first time where he said, let's go into the promised land till now. In the beginning of the book of Joshua, when he's ready to go in the second time. 45 years, that's a long time. Right? 45 years ago is 1979. Here's what was going on in 1979. Jimmy Carter was the president, and Walter Mondale was the vice president. On April 20th of 1979, how many of you remember that Jimmy Carter was attacked by a swamp rabbit? Do you remember this story? No? So you can look it up. Right? He was like fishing in Georgia, and he got attacked by a swamp rabbit. And this was like a big news story back in 1979. You can look it up later. Back in 1979, this old house, the show on PBS had just aired. Like it was this new house probably back then, but that's a bad joke. McDonald's introduced the Happy Meal in 1979 without a toy. When they first introduced it, it didn't have a toy, right? That's an improvement since 1979. In 1979, the Seattle Supersonics beat the Washington Bullets in the NBA championship. Both those teams don't have those names anymore. Seattle Supersonics over the Washington Bullets. The Volkswagen Jetta was first produced in 1979. But you think back, like 45 years ago, right? I wasn't even born that long ago, but a lot has happened over 45 years. A lot of things have changed. Some things have gotten better. I think a lot of things have gotten worse in 45 years. A lot had happened in Caleb's life in those 45 years, and he doesn't talk about a lot of the things that happened. We know some from Israel's history, but like personally in Caleb's life, maybe we could kind of imagine some things that had happened in those 45 years, like typical things maybe, but we don't know all the things that happened. But what, here he is at 85 years old, 45 years later from the time when he went to spy out the land. And as Caleb talks to Joshua about going into the land and what he wants to do and what he wants to see, he talks about some things that had stayed the same over these 45 years. And that's what I want to look at this evening. And we're going to end with Caleb as a portrait of consistency for us. But here's the first thing that hadn't changed. In verse 12, he says, listen, the enemy hasn't changed. The enemy's still the same. In verse 12, he says, now therefore give me this mountain. Right? He wants Hebron. Wherefore the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. The enemy hadn't gotten up and left, right? The enemy that he had seen there 45 years ago, they were still there. And so Caleb looks at Joshua and he says, I want Hebron. Hebron was a city toward the south in Israel. It was where Abraham had lived after he split from Lot, and Lot went to Sodom and Gomorrah, and so then Abraham went to Hebron. In Abraham's day, it was also called the Plains of Mamre. You'll see it sometimes called that. Mamre was an Amorite who would kind of live there. Later on, at some point, it was given the name, it says down in verse 15, the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Kirjath Arba means like the city of Arba. Arba was a kind of a great man in those days. He's known really for being the father of Anak, and it mentions that. Anak had three sons whose names were Shishai, Ahiman, and Talmai. You'll see those mentioned multiple times in Scripture. And really that family and their descendants, they're called in verse 15 the Anakims. That was like the name, like the descendants of Anak who came from Arba. They lived in Hebron. And one of the main things that you know about them is that they are giants, right? That's what they're really known for in Scripture. It's been supposed that Goliath was a descendant of them, and then later, so he ended up with the Philistines over to the west of Israel. They all lived in Hebron. And so go with me to Numbers chapter 13. This is what the spies had seen as they went to spy out the land 45 years ago. Numbers chapter 13, verse 21, so they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And then if we look down in verse 30, as they come back and the spies tell the people of Israel about them and they get all upset about what they found, verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the people that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshopper, and so we were in their sight. You know, they had, it's interesting, they had the same kind of reaction that Israel had to Goliath years later, right? They looked at the giants and went, oh, we can't do this. So they had this very fearful reaction to these enemies that they saw, the stature and the power that were there. Now, 45 years later, Caleb's like, you know, they're still there, right? There's still the Anakim there. There's still giants here in Hebron. And Caleb goes, listen, I was ready 45 years ago, and I'm still ready, right? The enemy hasn't changed, but I'm still going to go fight them. You know, we look at the world we live in today, and we face an ancient enemy, right? We face Satan, and he's still the enemy that he was when you got saved. He was still the enemy that he was from the beginning. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He hasn't changed. He hasn't gone away. It's not like over time that Satan has just kind of given up on his plan or on what he's trying to do. We still face an enemy. We still have a battle that we're waging. You know, we still have a world that's full of temptation, just like it was in the generations before. We read through Scripture, and we see men and women that faced temptation. And we go, you know what? It's maybe a more modern version. Like, the bait in the temptation has been modernized, but it's still the same temptation. Right? It's still the same temptations that we face. The enemy is still the same. The things that Paul faced and Peter faced in their day, we face those temptations. The enemy hasn't changed. The battle is still going on. We have a flesh, the same flesh that you've been battling since the day you were saved. You're going to battle that till the day that you die. We're going to face that enemy. We still have an enemy, and the enemy hasn't changed. But then there's something else, though. If we go back to Joshua chapter 14 and verse 12, right, the enemy hasn't changed, but also God hasn't changed. And Caleb looked around and said, you know what, it's still the same enemy, but he says it's still the same God. Verse 12, now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in the day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Caleb said he's still the same God as he was back then. And Caleb looked, and he said, I know 45 years ago that God had said he could give us that land, that we just followed him and went into the land, that the walled cities and the giants and all the enemies wouldn't be a problem for God, that he could take care of that. And he goes, you know, it's 45 years later, but it's the same God. And that same God who promised me 45 years ago is now still able to do what he has said he could do. The enemy hadn't changed, but neither had God. Have you heard that Mike Tyson's getting back in the ring? Right, Mike Tyson is going to fight another fight. He's scheduled to fight a YouTuber, I think in November. He retired back in 2005, right? So 19 years ago he retired, and he lost three of his last four fights. He's now 57 years old. 57 years old. And he's like training again and doing all of that. So it's been 19 years since his last fight. How many of you think he's gotten better, significantly better in the last 19 years? I don't think so, right? From however, 38, right, to 57. 38 to 57. What boxer do you think has gotten better at 57 than they were at 38? You got to know he's not who we used to be, right? Because that's what time does, right? We get old and we go, you know, I just can't play basketball like I used to. I tried a couple weeks ago. I was like, I just can't do what I used to be able to do. That's what happens, right? But yet, Caleb is looking at God 45 years later saying, you know what? I've changed, people have changed, God has not changed. He's still the same God. God does not change. Go with me back to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1. Right, way back toward the beginning, in Abraham's day, when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. You know how God described himself to Abraham? He said, I'm Almighty. We go back to Genesis chapter 1, and we see that from the beginning on display, that God could create everything. And what an incredible display of power. If we just look around at creation, it's overwhelming how powerful someone would have to be to make all of this, to make it function how it functions, to make it as it is, the power of God. And God looked at Abraham and said, "That's who I am. I am the Almighty God." Psalm 33 and verse 6, I'll read 6 through 9. "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." That's all he had to do. He just spoke. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And what a simple way to put it, but what power is contained in that. That he just spoke, and those things came into existence. And he told Abraham, he said, "I'm the Almighty God. There's nothing that God cannot do." You know, we come, right, that's the beginning. We come all the way to the end. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 22, John said, "I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." From the beginning to the end, we see that God's power doesn't change. He is Almighty from the very first time we meet God to the very end of the book of Revelation. That's who God is. His power doesn't change. It hasn't even increased. Because if you're Almighty, there's nowhere to go, right? You cannot go any more than that. But he's also Almighty and in that it hasn't decreased at all. He always has been and always will be the Almighty. He is unchanging. And this is what God has told us about himself. He said, "I am the Lord, I change not." Hebrews 13 and verse 8, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever." And you know where that brings us? It brings us to the understanding that then all the promises of God are still relevant to us even today because the God who promised them hadn't changed, right? So if God who promised is still capable of fulfilling those promises, then we can still trust in all of those. And so the promises in regard to are facing the enemy, as Caleb faced his enemy. We know in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it." The same God who promised that, back when that was written, is the same God who upholds that promise today. So that the temptations that we face, there's still a way to escape them, right? Through God, because he is still the same. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." There is still victory for us because God has not changed. Philippians 4 and verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." I today can still do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, because his strength hasn't changed. He hasn't lost any of it. He is still the same. All of that, and we can go on and on, all of those still apply to us because God hasn't changed. Caleb looked out and he said, the enemy's still there. He said, 45 years ago they were there. They're still there today. And he goes, the enemy hasn't changed. But he says, you know what? God hasn't changed either. He says, I can go in and I can take the land because God has not changed. We still face an enemy, the same enemy we faced when we got saved and before that. The enemy hasn't changed, but neither has God. But then we see one more portrait of consistency, and that is Caleb. Look in back in Joshua chapter 14, verse 7 and 8. Caleb hadn't changed. The enemy hadn't changed, God hadn't changed, but neither had Caleb. In verse 7 of Joshua 14, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me, may the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. At the very young age of 40, he says, I wholly followed the Lord my God. This is Caleb's perspective, right? As he looked at going into the promised land and facing the enemy and fighting and conquering the land, for him, it was just a matter of following the Lord as the Lord led, Right? That's Caleb's perspective, right? All the details, those were in God's hands, right? How it was going to happen and all of that. For him, he just looked at it and goes, I just have to follow God, right? That's all I have to do. If God says you go into the land, then that's what we do, right? It doesn't matter what I see or don't see or anything. And all of this, though, it was a matter of God's timing. God had brought them to the place. And so he said, you know what? If God is bringing us there and saying to go in, then it's time, right? The time is right for this. It was exactly what God had directed. This was the land God wanted them to have, even though it was filled with enemies, and even though it looked like it was going to be difficult, he knew it was the right time, and he knew it was what God wanted. And so Caleb said, okay, I'm just going to follow and do what the Lord wanted. The problem was there was a majority that did not want to follow God. Their hearts were melted, and they said, we can't do it. But you know what he says? He says, 45 years later, he says, I'm still just following the Lord. I'm still just doing what God has directed me to do. He hadn't changed. Now, I'm sure in some ways he was different than he was, because I don't think anybody is the same person they were 45 years later. We change. But in this, he was still the same. And, you know, so here he was at 40, and then 45 years later, that's almost half his life, right? He's looking back, you know, half of his lifetime ago. We're all different than we were when we were half this age, right? I'm, what am I, 30, 39. So I would be 19 and a half, right? If you think back to where you were half of your lifetime ago, right? How many of you are in the same house as you were half, right? We've moved, right? How many of you have a different job? Yeah, we all probably have different jobs. How many of you were not married half your lifetime ago? When did we get married? I'm just kidding. Yeah, I wasn't 19. How many of you were unsaved half your lifetime ago? You take a half. Yeah, like we're changing and things are different. But Caleb says, listen, with all the ways that he is different, he says one thing that hasn't changed is that I'm still following the Lord. Even with him having to wander in the wilderness and spend 45 years making his way all the way back to the promised land, he says, you know what, I'm just going to keep following the Lord. And he says in verse 11, and this is amazing, verse 11, and yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Either he's being really optimistic or this is the truth. And I think this was a miracle of God, because God had told Joshua and Caleb, he said, you were the ones that wanted to go into the land. You were faithful to me. He says, I'm going to bring you into this land. But it was going to be 45 more years. And it was going to take a miracle of God for Caleb to be where he could say, you know what, I can still do it. I can still go out and fight as I used to do at 40 years old. And I think God miraculously preserved the strength of Caleb, because Caleb just followed God. But that wasn't the most important part. Because look in verse 12. He says, now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. And then he says this, if so be that the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. The most important part about Caleb's consistency wasn't that he was as physically strong as he was 45 years ago. What mattered was that he was still trusting God 45 years later. He had trusted God at 40 years old, saying, Israel, we can do this. God is with us, and if the Lord delight in us, he said, we'll go in and conquer this land. It's the same attitude he had. He wasn't now more confident in himself, saying, listen, if at 85, man, look how strong I am. I can do this. It was the same Caleb, saying, Lord, if the Lord delights in us, then we'll go in and do this. If the Lord's with us, then that's all that we need. Doesn't matter how strong or how weak I am at 85. If God is with us, we shall be able to drive them out as the Lord had said. He consistently followed the Lord, trusting that if God was with him, that's all that he needed. And for us, with all that's happened to bring us to where we are, and we look back at who we used to be half our lifetime ago and where we were back then, and then we think about today, with all that's happened to bring us to where we are, are we still just consistently following the Lord? Are we still just day by day just trusting in God, saying, it's not who I am or what I've become. It's all about God. And day by day, I just need to put my faith in who God is. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know what the only question we need to ask about that verse is? We don't need to ask about, is God able? Right? Can God still do it? The only question we need to ask about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is, am I trusting in the Lord? That's it, right? We read that verse, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy paths. The only thing we need to ask about that is, am I trusting? Am I trusting in the Lord? Because everything else is up to him, right? God will take care of it. Like, God is wise, God knows our path, God will direct us, God will take care of everything. What we need to concern ourselves with, am I consistently trusting in the Lord day by day? And I look at Caleb and I think, what a testimony he had, that he wholly followed the Lord for 45 years, even when the Lord said, all right, you can't go into the promised land right now because of your family. But just day by day, he just walked with God, trusting in God, and God brought him to exactly where he needed to be. And in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, it tells us, moreover, it's required in stewards, we know this, that a man be found faithful. Right, that's what God is looking for from us, that we're just consistent, day by day, trusting in him. And there's a lot of times where in the New Testament, as Paul would write these letters to these churches, that he would commend them for their faithfulness. He would call them faithful brethren. And sometimes it's easy to skip over that, right? Yeah, faithful brethren, and just read through that. But faithfulness is a tremendous thing, to be a faithful Christian. And it doesn't mean that we're perfect or that we never make a mistake, but it's the just man that falls seven times and riseth up again. That we're just continuing to trust, as imperfect as we are. We're just striving each day to get up and trust God. And I don't know how difficult it might have been for Caleb, who was stuck wandering in the wilderness with the rest of Israel for 45 years. But you know what? We don't see bitterness in Caleb. We don't see anger in him at Israel. And maybe there were times where he struggled with that. But you know what we see is that for 45 years, he was just faithful, wholly following the Lord, trusting in God. He's a portrait of consistency. The enemy's the same, but God's still the same. Are we the same? Are we just consistently following him? A man named Matt Green was an engineer in New York City back in 2008. But in 2008, he quit his job and he did something that he always had wanted to do, which was he wanted to walk from Rockaway Beach in New York to Rockaway Beach in Oregon. He wanted to walk across the country. So he quit his job and it took him 5 months to do that. And then he gets out to Oregon and then he flies back to New York City and he decides that's just kind of what he wants to do with his life. He just wants to walk around. So he never got his job back or got another job. He's just been walking the streets in New York City since 2008. And the most recent article I could find on him was 2022. So like, this is what he's been doing. He lives off like $10 a day. And he sleeps at friends' houses or on couches or sometimes on the street. And it's just what he does. And I don't know if he's still doing it. As of 2022, he was still just walking the streets of New York City and, you know, taking his time and observing things. But that's a long time to do something day after day. To just wake up and go, all right, let's go walk around. We'll walk around New York City. But you know what? What has that gotten him? He says he likes it better than working. And I guess maybe, I don't know. He says he's learned a lot about New York City and the architecture and the history and all of that. But really, what has that gotten him? And yet we see Caleb, who walked with God for 45 years. 45 years, just day after day. And what a portrait of consistency that is. And I think it's a real challenge for us. Because tonight we know that the first two haven't changed, right? We know our enemy hasn't changed, and we know God hasn't changed. And really it comes down to us and our consistency. And the question isn't, are we perfect? Because we know that answer. We know we're not perfect. But are we just striving for faithfulness? Striving for consistency? And I want to close with two passages. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6
and verse 10. Caleb had a battle to fight. He had it 40 years ago, or 45 years ago, and he had it when he came back to the promised land. And we face a battle. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Caleb had a battle to fight. And when he came down to the end of his life, he was still going for the Lord. And that the second passage I wanted to read was 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7, where Paul said, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And as we live this life, and as days go by and days turn into months, and then months turn into years, let's consistently just trust God and walk with him. Let's just consistently wholly follow the Lord. That means tomorrow morning, we wake up and we follow God. And we take it a day at a time. We say, today I'm going to trust in the Lord. We wake up Tuesday morning, say, no matter what happened yesterday, how it went, I'm going to trust in God today. And we just do that. And then day after day goes by, and then we find ourselves 5 years later, where we were, still wholly following the Lord. As many other things change and as things shift around us and circumstances different, we find ourselves in a different spot in life. We can say, you know what? Still facing an enemy. But I also know God is still the same. And by the grace of God, I've just followed God. I've just done what God told me to do. And I haven't worried about everything else that I could really get worried about. I've just built a consistent life of faith one day at a time, saying, I'm just going to get up today, be like Caleb, a portrait of consistency where I just get back up today and I follow the Lord and I trust him. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for the fact that you are faithful. Lord, we couldn't be faithful if it weren't for you. And Lord, we need you. We need your grace in our life. We need your strength. Lord, help us to trust you. And Lord, may we be able to answer that question and say, today I'm just going to trust in God and depend upon him. And Lord, we know who you are, and we know we can trust in you. And we pray you'd help us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.